Once again, good evening. Mark Stanton Welch here. This is Tools for the Times, Session 4. And Session 4 is about energetic debris and the many ways that we can go ahead and clear that. So we'll get started by actually clearing some of the debris by just using my faithful chimes here, my Solvegio chimes, just to start off with this frequency. So let this wash over the lines and be fully cleansing and clearing for you. So it is. I don't know if that sounded really harsh over the phone or not, but you can tell when I listen to the recording. Use three different rattles here. One, a Chumash rattle from the Chumash native tribe is from California, right? Actually, in the San Luis Obispo area. I used a Peruvian rattle, which is the goat's toenails. No animal was harmed in the creation of this product. And I think this one is a Southwest tribe, quite possibly Apache because of the markings on the rattle. That's a gourd rattle. So all of a different kind of energy, basically designed to get my spirit back so it feels like it's back. So what a delight to be here tonight. And once again, the calls are going up to an hour and a half, and because there's just so much great stuff to share. It's been an overcast day here in the Central Coast, kind of cold, and there was just a hint of rain as it's kind of splashed over the face earlier this afternoon. It was a teaser. But the reason I bring that up is because when we're dealing with the release of the energetic past, which is really what I'm talking about when I say energetic debris, everything is in alignment to support that, especially in these times. And it's as if we're orchestrating our own experience all the time, because the weather, the animals, just the vibration has a tendency to show up to support us to stay as clear as we possibly can. And oftentimes, on a day like this when it's all gray, things become kind of nondescript. And it creates a different frequency and a different vibration inside. And it's one where things start to, it's like they're marshaling energy to move and to release. So it's a very inward pulling. I'm sorry, I was just laughing at myself because I'm still not back in my body. Okay. Too bad that's being recorded. That was a false start. All right, here we go. It still is a gray day here on the coast with a hint of rain hanging in the air. So what is energetic debris? That's the first question that comes to my mind when we're talking about this, when I looked at that title. Okay. The moments of living bring energetic responses, and they're often emotional in nature. And by design, the emotion moves, it has a short-lived life, and then it dissipates. It's a beautiful process that occurs if we get out of our own way. And the original makeup actually makes it so we can maintain an equilibrium. And that obviously would be the case if we didn't experience interruptions in the release almost from the moment of incarnation. When the emotional energy or the unexpressed sound is halted, the body stores it in the tissues and the cells with the intent to release it when it can. So we're looking here at a combination of two things. It's almost a medical model that I've been living on and living in and living through for quite some time through my own personal testimony in my days of evolving, when I had certain physical things come up that were perfectly in alignment with chakra areas. I started to notice that the repression and the holding on of certain kinds of energy would show up in the body in a certain place. And that's when I began to actually start to create music that would align with the particular places in the body where I saw the holding on. And it was before I really knew a whole lot about chakras and hadn't been studying any of that, but I was beginning to see some personal patterns start to show up through me. And now over time, I've seen how holding on to things especially is, and it's a strange way to put it, but it's like the number one sin. Holding on to energies that are designed to be expressed through us and out of us as a result of an event and an emotional release, and allowing the movement of that energy to express itself and dissipate. And then we don't do that. The body stores the information. And it's typically stored along thematic lines, meaning that each of the chakra has a particular intent about it. A particular type of vibration is held there. And when we hold on to things over and over and over again, the energy builds up. It builds up, but what it actually does is lose frequency. It slows down in vibration. And in that process of slowing down vibration, it physicalizes. And once the physicalization starts to occur, the body's wisdom is saying, please listen to me, to release, to clear. And what we're doing is not doing so, and so the body speaks louder. And so it's this idea, the unexpressed words, the unexpressed difficulty, the unexpressed pain, if you will, from the abuses and the moments of living throughout all of the incarnation, if they are stored, then literally that becomes the energetic debris that impacts the system, it impacts all of the energy bodies in a very profound way. And so it would follow that in order to stay clear and to stay clean and to be in our frequency of wholeness, that we have to constantly, well, two things have to go on. One is that we have to draw a line in the sand and say, no more do I stuff things. No more do I store energies within me as much as I can consciously be aware of that. And secondly, we have to dissipate the reservoir of the energies that are held within us. And the more we do that, the lighter we feel, because the lightness, the speeding up of the energy within, is actually the raising of the frequency. And as we clear the energetic debris, as I keep calling it, we'd return back to the frequency of wholeness. And so when I say this is a medical model, it impacts the physical in such a profound way that it literally leads to, in my opinion and my experience, the creation of physical dis-ease, conditions within the body that are holding energies. Because when the body is talking to me and when I'm paying attention, I start getting, I get sensations, and I pay attention to the sensation or the ache or the pain or the tickle or the numbness or any of those things. And as I start to pay attention to those and listen, I get information about it. And the information is typically about releasing something that's been held on for quite some time. So people do not see the relationship between energy and disease. They believe in reacting to symptoms with dangerous pharmaceuticals and invasive surgery, and failing to look clearly at the cause. And this model is not taught in medical schools. The very idea of prevention is finally being introduced, but still without much emphasis on emotion, thought, belief, and unexpressed energy. And this is quite critical. I was just talking with someone today, or having a session here, doing a rebirth of I Am. It's a 3-day process in working with clearing energies and reestablishing a place of center. And we were looking at that very thing, that of how it seems that certain industries control the idea of medicine, And Western medicine is finally coming around to a place where it's beginning to acknowledge that energy is an actual palatable force that we can work with, and that the body gets impacted by the unexpressed. But still, it's a rarity, it seems, to find someone who's willing to work at a deep level on this and still come from a place of actually creating healings. And this is why, in a sense, there's so many, we'll call them renegade healing technologies that are coming out. And it's, in a sense, and I believe I've said this before, it may have been on these calls, that out of the moments of living of people, as they work through and refine their vibration and clear up their own personal challenge, they find that they've created and developed a personal process for moving through these energies and actually done a healing upon themselves. So these new modalities are being formed as people are reconnecting with their own capacity to bring about a higher vibration. And they're willing to witness that higher vibration with great clarity, and it turns into healing. And, of course, we have to offer disclaimers in these days and times to say that what I am suggesting is by no means supported through the FDA or been approved or tested or et cetera, et cetera. So it's not meant to treat, diagnose, heal disease in any form, any shape whatsoever. Having said that, the work that I've personally done upon myself has been very profound in leaving me in a state of pretty much consistent health. And I don't think it's just the luck of the draw. I think it's a conscious choice to actually work with what I'm calling the energetic debris and making sure that I do everything I can through the course of my moments of living and also the day itself to not hold on to anything. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm emotionally running out and just gnashing teeth and yelling at the wind and everything, although that sounds like a fun thing to do now and then. It really indicates that on a daily basis I pay attention to what my body is talking about, and I listen to it, and I catch the signals. And by just giving it the attention and noticing the things that are going on within it, that is the trigger that is beginning to allow the release. So through the course of the night, we're going to hear about and experience a variety of techniques that are about releasing that energy and staying in a higher state of awareness and in a higher state of vibration. So daily, even moment by moment, monitoring and clearing of the unspoken and the emotion of an experience must be maintained to stay in center. This has to be a conscious choice. Understanding this and even allowing a paradigm shift to embrace a holistic viewpoint and relationship with health are a must for these times. We are in a magnificent vehicle, the body, that is designed for long life, self-clearing, self-sustaining marvel of divine engineering. It is time that we open to its inherent capacities and consciously utilize the given tools. And an additional point is to know that the physical body is one of the energy bodies. Disease starts with thought forms in the etheric bodies, and as it reduces vibration, moves towards physical manifestation, and it follows that caring for all the energy bodies, the emotions, the thoughts, and the spirit is what is required to be fully present, empowered, and healthy, and that choice is yours. It's controversial to the degree that some of this has yet to be proven, but some of it makes such absolute sense and can actually be sustained in awareness by actually doing it. The idea that we have these energy bodies and this auric field around us that is at higher frequency, each of these successive bodies, and the idea itself, the doubt, the devaluing, the sense of believing things that are about limiting us, begins to take hold in the external energy field here. And then as it gets more and more energy about it, we keep reinforcing it, it begins to slow down in vibration. And that descent towards the physical, all these places along there through the emotional body, the mental body, the astral body, all of those places are actual spots where we can do the cleansing. in the beginning when I did the chimes, those frequencies were clearing off my auric field. Simply by tending to that is one of the clear ways that I can actually keep my body purring. It's like an oil change almost, but it's an external field that I'm working with at the time. The rattles themselves, you heard the different frequencies and pitches of them. They impact different areas along the physical body as well as through the energetic bodies as well. So already we're beginning to see the potency of the tools that have been around for thousands of years. When you look at rattles, you think of the shaman, you think of the witch doctors, if you will, and all of these sort of uncivilized tribes who had someone who seemed a little crazy out there doing the healing work. Well, history can't be that off. There is great potency in these processes that are being rediscovered in these times. So tonight, as we do clearing energetic debris, the categories I have laid out here and the things we'll look into with examples. The big picture of the me I am, it starts with awareness, the importance of flowing emotion, my story and other mental roadblocks. There's a child in there. Cleaning and maintaining the chakras, the power of the human voice, empowerments, mantras, chants, and more, and a sample of some of these energy clearing techniques and 12 specific energy maintenance tools. So we got a lot happening here. So I invite you to take a breath, if you will. I'm going to invite you to speak your true name, your first, your middle, your last, because it's one of the great vehicles we have to do three things. One is to protect us, to put a field of energy around us that keeps our frequency in its wholeness of that moment. It also brings us back to the divine I am that I am, expressing as me, which is the template that I have carried through lifetime after lifetime. When I speak my name, I'm back in the child state. And I'm in the frequency of wholeness for the moment that I call it back. And then finally, it opens me up to the guidance that is there at the frequency of the name, at the vibration of that particular name. So Mark Stanton Welch carries out a frequency and a call to the angelic energies that are aligned to that, and they come to me. They make themselves available to find the car keys. They make themselves available to inspire me with problem solution or whatever it's going to be, or an inspiration for a song, whatever it's going to be. So on the count of three, I'm going to invite us to go ahead and speak that true name. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. No, you're not speaking to Mark Stanton Welch. You're speaking your own first, middle, and last name. Just wanted to clarify that. As much as I like to hear it. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 Seven times. Please, I invite you to speak your name on a daily basis. Speak it when you come and go from different environments. Keep your energy field in a high vibration, and this is one way to do it. It's one way to get back to your place of awareness, and to call yourself by your true name is to bring your whole self to the present moment. What could be better than that? Okay, in the big picture of the me I am, it was important that we take a little retrospective trip here. And I believe this is a very similar story, if you will, factual story about each of us in our incarnation process in this dimension. And what I put down here, it says, incarnation is not some random act. It's a decision made with very clear awareness and full knowledge of specific rememberings, learnings, and intentions invited that need to be addressed, understood, or embraced. And with full awareness and a mighty strong intention, we incarnate. The rules of the dimension are that the humans forget the moment they enter. The first great loss is the known personal relationship with the creative source. And separate and alone, we are also lifted or force our way out of our own perfect, sustaining, nurturing, maternal home. So by the time we take our first breath, we have experienced setbacks that will influence for much of the lifetime ahead. And these senses of emptiness and a sense of loss that so many of us carry that shows up in ways that we get abandoned by the families, by the moments of living, by the people that we call friends, etc., the shifts, abandoned by ourselves at times, are oftentimes just permutations of some of the original losses that are part of the dimension itself. To incarnate here is a potent and powerful thing. We come in with a clear message and a clear mission, and then we forget the resources that we have. What a glorious game it is. What a glorious adventure it turns out to be. Humans are born into the ideal environment of duality and polarity, where choices are made and actions are taken that may or may not be in alignment with our true purpose for incarnating. We journey through successive moments to find our way home. Every single one of us is yearning and moving towards reclaiming the self, which is finding the way home. When the self is reclaimed and reawakened so that we have conscious connection with it, then we are in a capacity to be fully in body and fully accessing all of the tools, etc., that we have here that are available to us, and the dimension opens wide. Until this newly rising Aquarian age, we were highly influenced by the idea of limitations, compromise, lack, and flaw that permeated the family, society, and the culture we joined. And these beliefs put in place by experience left us fully disconnected with the all that is. For truthfully, we are a pure frequency of the I am that I am expressing as me, a vital note of the collective symphony of now in this cosmic journey. The conflict is knowing and remembering this. No, the conflict in knowing and remembering this has led to a world of confusion until now. And now is a prime time to remember who we are. And the assistance of the divine has initiated a significant frequency change, which is actually triggering the remembering in each of us. And soon it will become a collective remembering that will transform the isolated human into the greater oneness. This really is the promise of what you and I are living through in these times. The great challenge is that the growth pains, if you will, the evolutionary pains, the reawakening pains, are large. And they're calling upon almost every part of us that has been seduced into limiting beliefs to be confronted. To never have been taught the power of the breath, to never realize that what happens when we sustain and pull in the chi and the life force and brought into us, and when we see that the different ways of breathing and how they can impact the system, how they can nurture the body, how they can bring energy itself, is a sinful act, and it's an omission that is unforgivable in many ways. This is the very stuff that as a school teacher I could have been teaching in fourth grade, in second grade. It really ought to be part of the kindergarten curriculum, honestly. To be fully acquainted, you know, we get owner's manuals with the cars we buy, with the televisions we pick up, with anything we pick up. But there just was some reason, nothing that helped us to really integrate, understand, and embrace this vehicle that we live in. Curious, I say. So what does this really mean to me in this life? There are powerful inner and outer changes occurring. The high-frequency influx of energy is dredging up the deepest wounds in each of us, those that have compromised us for lifetimes. And these new energies are quickly filtering through the subconscious and conscious self to break the old patterns, sweep out toxic residue, realign the inner knowing, and trigger the true design to reveal itself in specific inner guidance. These times are not easy, but everything that is occurring is temporary and filled with a sweeping purpose. As we choose to tend our whole selves, we will reawaken to a supreme magnificence and remember our design, skills, abilities, talents, and infinite possibilities. And it starts with consciously assisting in letting go of the past, toxic, energetic debris. So, let's get going. So I invite you to become aware of your feet. because as we move through the evening, I'm going to invite us to initiate and keep paying attention to this Earth Star cleanse and the full body cleanse that occurs from consciously drawing this up, even though it's been working for us since we incarnated 24/7. The Earth Star is about 16 inches, 18 inches below the feet as a plate. The frequency of the Earth comes up, the power of the Earth, the cleansing vibration, the augmenting energy that sustains us and enervates us, moves up through the left leg and sweeps through the entire physical body, through all of the energy bodies as well. Sweeping up through the left and across through the chakras, this vibration moves through us and like a comb or a filter sweeps through, and anything of lower vibration is carried away and brought down the right side, back down through the right leg, out through the right foot, into that Earth Star chakra. In this beautiful holy colonic, this energy moves and sustains us and cleanses us and clears us and empowers us and enlightens us 24/7. Activate that now. Bring it up through the left leg. Feel it coming up all the way through the left leg, through the foot, as it's a continuous process, a continuous vibration it moves through, sweeping first across the root chakra, right through the perineum, through the genital area, down through the right side, again to the left as the energy sweeps up into the sacral chakra 2 inches below the navel, sweeping across and sending itself down through the right side, joining now back on the left side as the two root and the sacral chakra keep sustaining and the energy keeps moving through them. It now sweeps through the solar plexus, it sweeps through the heart chakra, it sweeps through the throat chakra, it sweeps up into the brain and the head, and it actually crosses through and clears out all of the glandular area up in there, opening up the third eye, giving us our own clarity back, cleansing out, and finally to the crown, where it removes the filters, all of that debris moving down the right side, out the right foot. 24/7, call upon it. It's going to sustain you and keep you going as you allow it. You call upon it, it amplifies it exponentially. Just saying. Let's go to the breath. And very quickly, we talked about three different types of breathing last week, so let's just do them very quickly. You have a relaxation breath. You actually have an energizing breath. You have a breath that is called circular breathing. If you do the didgeridoo, you quite often will use this kind of an idea, but this is actually different than that particular breathing methodology. It has a different purpose to it. And then finally, there were actually four. The fourth breath would be the cleansing breath. The relaxation breath is the one that is slow and methodical. It's based upon numbers because numbers allow us to visualize this rectangle. That the breathing in, you hold the breath, you breathe out, and then you hold before you bring in the next breath. It's a slow, careful thing, and you start with, say, a 6-4-6-4. Six pulses in, four across where you're holding, six out, and then four to hold before the next breath. Let's just do three cycles of that. So you breathe in four. Hold. And then out. Hold. In. Hold. Out. Hold. And one more in. Hold. Out. And hold. Okay, return back to normal breathing. You may find already that you started to feel soft. What happens for me is the senses start to turn on, especially the sense of touch. I feel the prana. I feel the life force that has moved through me, and it creates a heightened state of awareness, even with just those few breaths right there. And I am in a calm frame and a calm state. The idea to remember on this particular type of breathing is that you when you're breathing in for six, you use the entire six pulses to get the breath from empty to full. You're breathing into the belly, You're breathing deeply, and the slowness of it allows you to really fill up the lung to the point that you're getting the maximum amount of chi that you can. The hold across the top moves the chi and the life force and the oxygen through the lungs into the bloodstream, where it's then distributed throughout the body. The release out of the lung is slow and sustained so that you can get every bit out. And you let it go, and then it is finally out at 6. You hold again in what is considered that golden kind of nirvanic moment in between breaths, where the infinite lives, as they say. With a energetic breath, where you're calling upon yourself to actually become energized because you're really low in your vitality, you breathe in through the nose, and you basically breathe in deeply like a bellows to the bottom of the lung at the diaphragm. And I breathe in fast, and I breathe in completely in and out through the nose. Like a dog. So we're going for 15 seconds. Here we go, through the nose, quickly. 1, 2, 3, here we go. Clock in front of me. That could have been 2 hours. I don't know. That was, I believe, around 15, 20 seconds. The idea is you do this up to 1 minute. And right now, when you first start doing this, it's as if the muscles kind of fumble and stumble because they're not used to doing this kind of thing. But what you're doing is you're also really working your core system. So it would bring you Ripley abs as well. I don't know about that, but it sure seemed like a good selling point on it. But you'll notice just from that little short spurt that the energy that you feel is different than the relaxation energy. It's a vital energy. It wants to move. It's got a higher frequency to it that gives me the capacity to move forward and to do that which is before me. Why not use it? You can relax through your breath. You can energize through your breath. Possibly tonight, as we go through some of these processes, you'll start to feel an emotional release. That's the gift of the work. It's all about the emotional release, and that's the point of it. With the luxury of time that you have on your own, you can call upon what is called the circular breath or the complete breath. And this is a breath that is the breath we had as infants. You breathe in and you breathe out. Breathe in, out. And like a circle, it goes round and round with no pause in between any of that. No pause. So let's do 4 of these, where we breathe in and out. Breathe in, out, in, out. In and out, and in and out, and one more in and out. The point of this breath is for a super cleansing to take place. That quite literally it's taking and supporting the movement of the emotion and giving it wings. So it completes the movement of that burst of emotion that comes out. Not in an overwhelming way, but it takes it and it likes it gives it some wheels to ride on, and so it rides completely out. And about 10 of those complete breaths will allow you to move into and through and beyond the emotional energy that was really moving at that point. A time to use this is when you start to have feelings of the energy moving because emotional things are coming up. And you've got the program going that says you have to earn the right to cry, or, you know, big boys don't cry, or this, or don't cry, emotion is not okay in my family, I can't do this, I'll lose control. This is the perfect time to call in that form of breathing. Because in that mode of panic, which is really what's happening there, what we want to do is soften the fringe and soften the edges and take away that sense of responsibility that, honestly, the little child is taking on. So the breath itself then becomes a vehicle that softens everything. And quite often, and many times I've done this, when I was on the edge of tears, and I just couldn't get there, and I went to this kind of breathing, and the next thing you know, I crossed over the threshold and the release took place. It's a tender, potent, powerful process that I invite you to use. And then finally, with the cleansing breath, the idea is that in the normal process of breathing, there's typically a depository of stale air at the bottom of the lung, because too often people don't breathe fully into their lungs. They breathe through the top or the first three quarters. So this is the idea of actually getting that energy, getting the air out of the bottom of the lung. And you'll find actually that your breathing capacity increases. The way it works is you take a breath in, and then you let it out. And when you feel like you've reached the end, you kind of push in on the diaphragm, and you kind of force any bit of air out. And then you breathe in. And the next thing you know, you're pulling in a large amount of air far beyond what you just took in. So if you do this on a daily basis, you're going to allow yourself to be cleansed and clear. And the point of having all of our resources available to us is that we have the capacity to fully invest ourselves in the moment and the forms of the moments that are showing up for us. So why not be in our faculties? Four types of breathing that will really help to assist you in clearing energetic debris in specific ways. Sometimes when the energy is moving fast, we want to get calm with it to allow it to move. Sometimes when we feel stuck and we're starting to fall asleep because we're resisting the movement of the energy, we call upon the breath of fire, is what that is called, to energize. And sometimes when I'm in the midst of the throes of emotion and I feel stuck with it, I call upon the circular breath. And that circular breath allows me to ride that wave to its fruition and release. And then the whole idea of just keeping the vehicle maintained is to flush your inner radiator, if you will, which is to clear out the stale air. And then have access to the full capacity of the lungs. I'm moving now to the topic that says it starts with awareness. Just a little drink of tea. To be aware is to pay attention. To pay attention is to keep witnessing consciously the inner and outer forms of your moments. Awareness is sense-based. The primary sense for inner awareness is touch. Monitoring for sensations and symptoms of energy movement and emotional flow is really what is needed to stay energetically clear. So let's look at this for a moment. Culturally, family-wise, and through personal prejudice, through carryover from lifetimes, we buy into the idea that to not feel is a more ideal place. We're not used to feeling our bodies. We're used to having a body that's just there that we can do what we want with, but when it starts to talk to us, it starts to get spooky, or we get scared. Well, here's the thing. These points of when we start to get scared is the actual movement of the energy that's cleansing and clearing itself out. More than likely, it's the old cesspool of fear energy, that residue that's in there that is actually in process of moving, and it starts to reveal itself, and we get scared by the scared. Part of this is just part of a routine and a pattern that we have bought into. So it is essential that we start to pay attention. It's one thing to pay attention to the outside world, but this is the final frontier, the inside world, and this is where we want to pay attention. I'm asking you to bring your awareness to the nuances of what occurs in your body all through the day, because every one of those touches, those nudges that occur, whether it's a tickle, so often tickles, are right along a meridian line. It's a specific place along that meridian line where there's a block. And your tendency with the tickle is to scratch it. And by tickle, I say it's an itch. So I bring my hand to it, I take my nail, and I dig into that certain area, which happens to be right at that point, and through the process of acupuncture, attention, etc., I am actually clearing the blockage along that meridian, and before I know it, the itch is gone, and so is the blockage, and my energy system is back in flow. The ache or the pain that seems to come out of nowhere, is it really out of nowhere? Bringing my attention to it gives it the presence of my awareness and the present of my awareness to allow it to continue moving. When I witness the inner world, I am blessing myself in ways that we'll see here as I move through this particular one. In our moments of living, we often move from environment to environment, person to person, situation to situation. Each of these has a particular identifiable energy about it. And learning to notice the nuances is very important as we can pick up random energetic debris anywhere. We can pick that up on our field. Our auric field magnetizes certain frequencies of energy, and oftentimes lower frequency gunk attaches to the outside of the auric field. Like a dog getting out of the water, we have to shake it off. And awareness is a tool. You know when you walk into a room that feels funky. You know when you've been around someone and you walk away and you feel like you've got a bunch of debris on your back or your shoulder or all over your hand or whatever. You know that, and too often we dismiss it. Well, these days of dismissing are over. These are the days of paying hyper attention, not to the point that we become manic. But just by opening the door and giving permission to pay attention, we begin to get all the information we need. Noticing shifts of mood, sensation in the body, emotional responses, often entering or leaving a space is very useful. Clearing them after we leave, at least, is essential. Even though we can be clearing as we stand there in the presence of someone who's just glonking us with all this energy. Remember, the body stores the unexpressed energy of a moment in the chakras with the intention to clear it through contacting the conscious self. Ignoring this builds an increasingly toxic residue. So, learning the location of each in-body chakra is useful, and because debris actually speaks from there most often. Noticing allows you to consciously clear what has been triggered and is calling for release. The root is at the perineum, pointing towards the earth. Bring your awareness now to that spot of you. I want to see what you can do by just giving your focus to an area. By bringing your attention to the area of the chakra itself, you can actually begin to get sensation there. So through each of the seven chakras, I'm going to invite you to bring that awareness until you start to get sensation. Let's do something easier for the moment. Now, that's an assumption I just made, but the call was to do this. Think of your right hand, the top of your right hand, and bring your awareness to the top of your right hand. And just notice if you start to get a sensation there. Your attention is a palpable force. It can activate an awareness and an energy field in the very area that you bring it to. Now move over to your right elbow and bring awareness to that area. Now bring it back down to the palm of your right hand. And now from the palm of the right hand, keep the awareness there, but bring it also to the elbow on the right side. And it's hard not to feel like the entire area between the two on the forearm is not energized. I love how the phone just delivered a little burst of energy that moved through it right there. Thank you. And from the right hand and the right elbow, separate from that and bring your attention to your left shoulder in the back at the shoulder blade. and begin to create a tension that shows up as a vibration or a sensation back there. Move it from there over to the right shoulder blade. You can almost feel it moving straight across, like a little force moving across and becoming a part of just the right side over there. You can obviously see that the more you do this, the more you develop the capacity to do it. When you've got extra moments anywhere, standing in the grocery line, start bringing your awareness to parts of your body. This will pay in spades over time as you start to work with specific areas within you. Bring your attention now to your forehead. To your left foot at the bottom. To your lower back. To the center of your chest. To your right ear. To the crown of your head. To the left kneecap. So you're beginning to see, the more we do it, the more quickly you can move from one place to the next. This is really just a skill of developing muscle of awareness. Keep working with that when you get a chance. Well, let's go back to the chakras right now. Somebody's phone is on, so I'm hearing some extra sound through that. So why don't you all just speak your name out loud on three. 1, 2, 3.
Brenda.
Okay, Brenda, your phone is on. So *6 it, and that way all these magnificent things that you're doing will be part of your experience for now. Thanks so much. Okay. Now, let's bring the root chakra at the perineum. So bring your awareness to that area. And immediately, if not sooner, it activates. And you have the sensation of there. The second chakra, 2 inches below the navel, bring your awareness to that area. Right on the front of the belly, just below the belly button. You might also be beginning the front and back side as well. Go from the front and bring the awareness back to the back, say it around L4 or L5, back in that area in the lumbar area, directly behind the chakra point in the front. You can have the awareness of both sides. Move it up to the front at the solar plexus, just below the rib cage, at the diaphragm. It's hard not to engage front and back, because the more we give attention, the more the body reveals itself as energy. Up to the heart chakra at the center of the chest. That had some clearing. Bring it up now to the back of the throat. And then to the third eye at the center of the forehead. The minute I bring my attention to the front, the back activates as well, straight behind the back of the head. Again, these work in tandem. The more we become aware, the more we feel, the more we sense, the more alive we are, the less numb we are. And finally, to the crown. Okay, so let your focus go for a moment. One of the offshoots of knowing where these chakras are and where the location is to notice that when we are living our moments and we start to feel sensation in that area, it indicates that a trigger has happened. Something has occurred. If we get that feeling at the pit of our stomach, then we know our solar plexus area is active. Something is wanting to move there. We could have been triggered by a wondering about a compromise of our personal power, or we felt overwhelmed by something and we feel like we lost our power. It will show up in that center. And so the point is that through living and paying attention, the body gives us all the information we need to then clear and support the movement, or at the very least, the release of the energy that wants to move. And once again, and I believe I've said this before, as a result of work that's been done really by so many people in the 80s and 70s doing therapeutic work and actually moving into that. And I say it was magnificent because only 15 years before, in the 50s, therapy of any kind, going inward, starting to look at different parts of ourselves beyond just the physical black and white world, was really frowned upon. For my mother to go into therapy would have been unspoken, and she never did because it was really beneath her, or she was branded as having something wrong with her. And that was a powerful voice in those days. So to say that in the 70s and then well into the 80s and the early 90s, when people really were surrendering themselves to lay on the couch or sit in a chair or whatever and start to talk to someone about the stuff they were holding on to, that was a collective raising of vibration on the planet. And it raised it to such a degree that we now are in this fabulous place in the 2010s. Where all we have to do is bring our awareness to an area that's calling us, and the issue that was there releases itself energetically. We don't have to know what's underneath it. We don't have to know it's because by the time my brother got me in a headlock and I thought I was going to die, and I sustained that within my fear center, which is in my sacral area. We don't have to know that that was going on, and nor do I have to sit down and say what I need to say to my brother. Although there are times when that is very useful. I'm saying that the attention is enough now to trigger the release. And this is the great gift of the cosmos, as well as a great gift to all of us who spent the time on the couches. So it says, pay attention to the stirrings in the areas. A call requires focus to assist the release. Consistent care will at the least prevent more energetic debris from being stored on top of what is already there. To clear completely, one must engage in specific activities. Once again, there's two things happening as we clear debris. One is that we're preventing ourselves from adding more to the stockpile, and the other is that we're clearing out the pool itself. Eventually we'll reach a place where it doesn't really impact us. And then we will have reached a place where the free flow of emotion is in process, which is a beautiful, beautiful state, because that's the design. So another thing in this awareness is to become aware of your particular sensations that accompany the emotions of fear, anger, and sadness. And recognizing them can assist you in taking action on supporting the full release of the emotional energy, which is the desired goal. In particular, fear is a sacral chakra issue, anger is a solar plexus issue, and sadness and grief is a heart chakra issue. Although it also involves at times the high heart. So what I mean by this is there are certain sensations that go along with these emotions. They show up in certain areas in the body. When you're feeling sacral energy, which is really below the belly, in between the pubic mound and also the belly button, that area right in there, when you have sensation, chances are there's some fear that's moving. So check your environment. Check around and notice what might have triggered that. Something is involved. Something is going on. And because you've recognized it being there, there are certain things you can do to support the fear energy, as we'll see through the course of the talk tonight. When you feel something impact your stomach at the solar plexus, you know that your power center is being compromised in one way or another. Are you struggling with a decision? Are you feeling powerless in your moments? Are you in a process where you cannot even make a decision? Are you feeling anger in there? Are you feeling judgmental towards yourself? Are you turning it upon someone else? These are all things to look at. Each of us has certain sensations that go along with the emotions that are particular to us. We want to find those. We want to discover what those are. That's your homework. Because your energetic anatomy consists of additional frequency-based energy bodies beyond the physical, one's awareness must extend outward. There are 8 energy bodies: physical, etheric, emotional, mental, astral, etheric, template, celestial, and cathartic. Each impacts awareness and experience. You can find a lot of this information, and again, I recall that I was going to give you a resource page. I haven't done that yet. I apologize. But I will include in there some places where you can find a great deal of information about your energy bodies. It's good to know them. There's a woman named Barbara Ann Brennan who wrote Hands of Light about 15 years ago, a beautiful blue book about working with energy. And she identified auric layers as well surrounding the body, beyond just the energy bodies, and each serves a particular purpose. The first handles, the first energy body just right around our physical body, handles the projections of life energies, she said. The second screens the feelings and emotions. And the third filters ideas and beliefs. The fourth attracts and repels relationships. The fifth attracts, repels, and sends guidance. The sixth opens to choices and enacts decisions. The seventh connects with spirits and spirit. The eighth broadcasts karma and absorbs power. The ninth connects with others based on soul issues. The 10th mirrors beliefs, serving as a second self. The 11th commandeers force. And the 12th links with the energy egg, which is the last of the energy bodies that surrounds us and connects the human and the divine selves. Isn't this glorious information? Because to hear this is to realize that we're just not, you know, Joe Schmo in a body, slugging through life, making the best of it. You either make it or you don't. You got one life. Better make it good. It's so much more. Obviously, it's beyond the scope of us to go into these, but the awareness is what I'm talking about now. By bringing this awareness to you, the next thing you know, you'll be starting to go, wow, where is that energy body? Where do I feel it? Oh, I'm noticing something. It's just kind of right outside, about a foot away from me. What is that? And as you start to gain this awareness, you start to gain the capacity to keep things filtered and clean and in your high vibration. That's what we're doing here. So the point of all this is we have to be aware of. We have a lot to be aware of. And this is where personal energetic boundaries come in. A boundary is designed to keep one's own frequency in balance by keeping out lower frequency energies. Maintaining healthy boundaries is critical to being able to function from center in this dimension. Awareness allows you to sense when your boundaries are threatened and to determine where the intrusion is, as well as locate the kind of energy. A boundary itself is spherical. It contains us within, it's like the boy in a bubble. You're in there. And the boundary is an energetic field that carries a certain frequency about it. Boundaries exist, and they have to be augmented and supported. Boundaries can become very porous. The wounds of life and the moments of living and the times we gave up and bought into limitations, they all impact the capacity of the boundary to do its work. Calling upon the boundary on a daily basis is the least we can do. There's no sense in going out and being with people and then bringing them all home energetically and having them hang around the house with all the energies that they have. What's the point? The point is to go and experience the world and then clear ourselves off when we come home to stay in our frequency of wholeness so that we can show up in that to our own moments of living. So, let's go back to speaking that original birth name. The original birth name gave us the boundary around our field, around ourselves. When I say Mark Stanton Welch, I am putting myself in a cocoon of vibration that is a potent force that will keep anything of lower vibration out of my field, unless I choose to bring it in. So, four times. Here we go. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. Mark Stanton Welch. Mark Stanton Welch. Mark Stanton Welch. It would follow that the moment I cross the threshold to go out into the day, in the morning or at any point during the day, I speak my name. I have done my due diligence to put myself in the highest frame of awareness and protection and safety to keep myself in my center to be able to embrace the moments of living that are being orchestrated towards me as I move. If you get tired of speaking your name, call upon one of the great mantras. Actually, there's two of them, and they're actually introduced in the section on mantras and chants that are useful, but I'll speak it now. We've done it many times before if you've been doing this work. The Tibetan mantra of Hung Vajra Pe completely activates a powerful field around us and transforms any negative, and by negative it means lower frequency energy than the frequency of my own self. It transforms it. It's as if they move into this field, those energies, and they are dissipated and aren't allowed in unless I choose. Seven times. Hung Vajrape, Hung Vajrape, Hung Vajrape, Hung Vajrape, Hung Vajrape, Hung Vajrape, Hung Vajrape. The very sound of the mantra activates the field itself, spoken for thousands of years with the intention of doing exactly that. Use it. Another one that calls upon the Hindu deity of Durga. You can go durga.com, or you can go on and find Hindu deities and you can understand the energy of Durga. Om Dum Durgaye Namaha is a mantra of the Hindu presence that basically transforms any energy around us and keeps us in a place of safety. I don't understand that it actually puts a field around it. It's almost like it's a force field. It's like a bug zapper. And another one bites the dust. I love bugs, but I had to roll with that. Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. On my Sung Mantras CD, I have put that to song, and it goes like this. Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. 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 So as I sing that without music, all I feel is where my voice moves through my body, activating certain areas, making sure that certain things are in alignment, and the field around me grows, and anything that wants to enter has to be of my frequency or above. Okay, the additional thing I want to say here, and then I'm going to move on, because you'll be able to read through some of the things I haven't attended to, because I put a lot in this one, is the use of the idea of cutting cords. Now, when people get in one another's presence, we're sending out these energetic cords. Zit, zit, they're going out, and they're connecting with people. It's one way we feel people. We get a sense of who they are by these cords. And it's a process that occurs, and it's a very beautiful process until it isn't. And the reason it wouldn't be is because sometimes these cords are coming from someone who's very depleted in energy, and they're trying to get some energy, so they're trying to suck us dry, and they're putting it out there, and then it goes right into our lower chakra areas and starts pulling on our vital force, because it's just an innocent need. It isn't some sort of alien being. It really is just, man, I need some help, and we're there to give it to them. Perhaps you felt very depleted after being around certain individuals, there's a good chance that there's some serious cords that are going on between you and the person. So you walk away, and these cords are just trailing behind you, still attached. And wherever you go, whatever you do, there will be these cords unless you choose to consciously cut them. So thank you to our Egyptian Huna process, which occurred a long, long time ago. I learned this process through a lady named Nadia Eagles, who was one of the last descendants of the original pharaohs. She was no longer incarnated. The work of teaching Huna just literally burned her right up, and so she left the planet. And what a tragedy, because what a resource she was. But the process of using the particular Egyptian empowerment, the Sah Kherup Naa, S-U-H-H-T-E-P-N-A-H, Sah Kherup Naa. This is a force that you can hear it. It literally is cutting. You take your hand and across the front of your lower chakras especially, because the invasion, if you will, is usually second, third, and fourth, and sometimes root. That's typically where the attempt to get energy is coming from. There's not a whole lot of energy they're going to get from the throat. Most of the energy comes from the solar plexus and from the belly. It's one of the reasons why when you stand in an uncomfortable situation or around people, your arms cross across your solar plexus. Or if you're standing at what's called parade rest, your hands go across your second chakra. It looks like guys are just protecting their privates, but literally their hands are just above there at the second chakra. These are natural body responses to protecting their own energy source, their own energy field. So the Sah Kherup Naa cuts across these like a knife, and any cords that are there are severed and separated from us. So I go, Sah Kherup Naa, Sah Kherup Naa. So why don't you do this as you cross here? You're crossing across the front of your body for now. Sah Kherup Naa, Sah Kherup Naa, Sah Kherup Naa. And then move down the back. Sah Kherup Naa, Sah Kherup Naa, Sah Kherup Naa. And so it is. All right, let's move on. Dang, 808. How does this happen? How does this happen? The importance of flowing emotion. Emotion is energy in motion. It's a liquid force that moves and flows. Attempting to harness it or block it builds up stress to the system. It will find its way out to expression. This is essential to remember. You cannot block emotion. It's a vital force that moves, and it has a life of its own. And like a cloud bank coming through, it will move through in its own time and pass beyond. It always goes that way. I don't care what it is. It comes and it goes. And our opportunity is to let it move freely through us without blockage. It's the blockage that is stored in your cells, and it's the debris we're talking about. Emotion as a raw force actually enters in pure form at the backside of the sacral chakra. So it literally comes in just be at the lower part of the back that often gets blown out. Not because of the energy coming in, but because of the blockages as it passes through the spinal column, which is the entry point into the visible world and the physical world. The way it is used or abused leads to the storage of the energy, and typically it's stored in the corresponding organs and the chakras. Continued storing with no release lowers the vibration of the organ or chakra, leading to the physicality of the energy. Continued ignoring of the body calls to release it, the sensation, pain, numbness, tingling, etc., leads to significant dis-ease. It is our responsibility personally, to keep our emotional system flowing. Energy in motion, emotion, it has to move. We cannot resist it. And I use a word like cannot, which I don't really use that often. But it will lead to conditions, inevitably. So how do we keep it in motion? This is part of the process. But before I say that, emotion is a unique energy of the earth plane. It's a rarity in the cosmos. And it has beings lined up for eons to incarnate for the opportunity to experience this feeling of flow. This is somewhat controversial because how do we know? Well, the guidance says, and the National Enquirer says, that emotion is unique to the earth plane. So to come into a body, if you remember Star Trek with Dr. Spock, who was not a who was a very rational man, so to speak. He did not understand or feel emotion. That actually is quite accurate. A lot of the star beings don't have this connection with this vibration. And so there's never a shortage of energies wanting to incarnate into the planet. So consider yourself special and privileged because you're here at this time and able to experience the emotion. So what happens with us? We have this gift. We're all trying to run away from it. We're taught in the culture about the dangers of emotion, about how it overwhelms and we lose control and we're out of control and we're falling apart and all these other metaphors for emotion that is expressing itself. And we swallow anger and we run from fear and we numb out with the grief and the sadness until the body just falls apart. And then we medicate out of it. Culturally, emotion is tucked away. Okay, I've said that. Freeing emotion will interrupt the tendency to storehouse the energetic responses to life's moments. Currently, freeing emotion is an inside job relegated to brave individuals like you and me who are willing to listen to the guidance in these expanding times. For our purposes in this session, it's necessary that we develop an emotional language that allows us to recognize, locate, experience, support, and release emotion when it rises. We're going to look at this in session 7 called Flowing with Emotions, and we'll do that extensively there. But for now, the invitation here is for you to do a little homework. It says get the jump on that by making a list of body symptoms you have when you experience joy, sorrow, anger, fear, and grief. Have it available when we access session 7. There's a vocabulary of emotion. There are certain sounds that can be made that will indicate to every human being what emotion is going on. Is one. Is another. Is another. Oh, gosh. Is another. I'm sure that every one of you got what those emotions were. Those are just the sounds that emit naturally to support the emotion that is moving. And this, in a sense, is one of the greatest gifts we can do for ourselves, is to give sound to the emotion. When we swallow the impulse that happens when we slam the hammer on our thumb while we're holding the nail, and we swallow that energy, it's a powerful force. It's the stuff that breaks through the martial arts. It breaks through boards. And we just force it back down into our beautiful system. Stop it. Stop it. So it is essential for you as ascended beings, because in a sense that's what we're doing, but reawakening yourself, you have to get in touch with your emotional self. It's essential. Okay, I'm just making adjustments here about which one I want to move into. So I'm going to move to, there's a child in there. Okay, inner child awareness first appeared in the transactional analysis work of the 70s by a guy named Eric Byrne. The inner child was an element of our makeup that was cared for by the nurturing parent or controlled by the critical parent. There were all these characters inside of us that were defined, and the interaction between them created the transactions that determine how we were in the next moment and what our makeup was in terms of our emotional sense of how present we were, how we could be in relationship, on and on and on. Like the 70s, it was very mental, but it was a foundation that was beginning to be developed. Because out of that, in the later, well, it was actually early, mid-80s, up until a little bit later in the recovery movements that started and became a big deal in those times. Especially a guy named John Bradshaw. He did a lot of work with the inner child, but the inner child was being approached from a different place. He was perceiving it as an energy part of ourself that needed to be tended and cared for, and that the wounds of the inner child were the very things that were leading people to substance abuse. And so by tending that child self, you began to take away some of the needs that were expressing themselves through drugs, through alcohol, through sex, through whatever the addiction was at the time. And this was beautiful, and it carried the original Eric Byrne work to a higher frequency, and yet it was still short of the mark, if you will. And I say here, through the monumental work of my landlady, Lucia Cappuccioni, and this is true, who pioneered non-dominant handwriting as a place, as a doorway to dialogue with the long-ignored child self, the child's place was set for her elevation into these times. Lucia, through the work that she was doing through art, discovered that dialoguing with this part of herself, with the right hand, the dominant, or the left hand, whichever is dominant, and then answering with the non-dominant hand, she was able to access this part of herself. It may sound strange to you at the moment, but I've done it so much, and it's been such a powerful process. Prior to this, the language of the inner child self has been essentially through body sensation or emotion. Here you have this precious inner being, this precious design, this precious template of who we have always been being ignored over and over and giving the only language that it has through body sensation or emotion, and we're taught to ignore both of those. So over and over and over and over, we abandon and re-abandon our own inner child. And so the patterns continue. The patterns of survival that this beautiful child made in order to get us to this point in time, they have to keep doing the same thing. But that's not what they're here for. Okay, this process of working with the inner child is described in here, of actually creating the dialogue. You ask a question with your dominant hand. You take the pen or the pencil in your non-dominant hand and let it work. Obviously, it's going to be scribble. When I first accessed this, there were 32 pages of just scribbled and scribbles, circles, lines, ripping through the paper with the intensity of the repressed vibration and repressed energy this child had within him was brought out on the paper. And it wasn't until after 32 pages that the first word in there was, thank you. And it came out, and I saw it at the moment, and I can still go there. I can still feel what I feel at this moment of the beautiful connection that happened. And I felt the thank you. It's as if I was, and it was, I was talking to myself, and it brought up the sweetness of that recognition. And that began a relationship with this precious being that has made all the difference in terms of my work and how I show up in the world. And am I just Mr. Ten the child? No, I forget all the time. And something comes back to remind me that the kid is pissed off. You keep saying you're going to stay there and you're not going to, you know, go away. And the next thing you know, you feel good and then you go away. Start including me. So I do it more and more. And when I go down to the beach on a daily basis, me and the kid go. And I carry him around like a sack of spuds, you know, under one arm. He walks on my shoe, you know, my feet sometimes. Sometimes I'm giving him a piggyback. And sometimes you just walk him in the hand in hand. And I talk to myself. It looks like, oh, there's that crazy Welsh guy out there talking to himself. Well, I'm talking to my kid. And he's talking back to me. And we're creating safety for him. And the things that he used to buy into, the things that he took responsibility for, he doesn't do anymore. Because I've re-educated him. And I said, you know what, little guy, Marky? You know, Marky, it's not yours to do. Never was. And I am so proud of you and so happy that you did what you did to get me to this point in time. But let me take it over for you. All I want you to know is basically just have a good time. Go explore. Just be in wonder all the time. Know that your needs are going to be met. Let me know what you want. If I don't provide it, I'll get it for you. And every night, you know, when you go to bed, there's a place for you right there, right next to me. That's what it takes. And the happy childhood that I never had, and maybe you didn't have, is possible through this work, through the idea of really just opening up dialogue to that part of myself. Because finally, he or she has a capacity to express and be heard and to get information back and to have a dialogue. It changes the world. So look through this piece. Building upon the work of Lucia, the time was ripe for fully integrating the precious child into the whole being. It is a child self that contains the template of our eternal self. She has the blueprint for the I am that I am expressing as me. Building respect, honor, support, and self-esteem helps to clear the horrible energetic debris of the wounds and abuses perpetrated upon this little one. The child self is a soulmate that has been paraded around for decades in a new thought movement. Establishing and maintaining a clean relationship with this one opens a door to having meaningful relationships with others. The dysfunction is eradicated when one's deep inner needs are met by the pairing and reunion of the adult and child. Hear me when I say this. The yearning for relationship that we perpetrate out there and put on people and bring them in to expect them to take care of us, and inevitably they fail. The cycle is ended when we tend our own inner child and create relationship, because we know our needs will be met, and I'm not out there trying to get you, are you my daddy? Are you my mommy? Are you going to take care of me? I'm not running that gamut. Follow this a little more and read into those things. Let's do some more work here. I don't know if you've heard of the Ho'oponopono. The Ho'oponopono is a forgiveness process from the Hawaiian tradition. And it was built from, like I said, some of the traditions that were there. And the idea is that if there's been some kind of situation where something has been perpetrated upon someone, I've been watching Law and Order lately, so perpetrating is a big word that I've been using. It has some elements about it. It has, you name the person, you call him in, you say, dear so-and-so, dear Mark. Say, I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you, and I thank you. So in that process of expressing this, I have gone through a cycle of taking responsibility, owning it, taking a higher compassion and an empathetic road, and then expressing gratitude. All very high-frequency activities. Dear so-and-so, I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you, and I thank you. Forgiveness is a chance, is an opportunity to wash away the emotional debris, particularly around the heart and lung area, up in the heart chakra, higher heart chakra, throat, and solar plexus, front and back. The wounds that have been perpetrated, there it is again, it's a perfect word for tonight, upon us, can be forgiven. Okay, here's the caveat. I have done a Ho'oponoponos and walked through the activity and thought, wow, this is pretty cool, and then felt nothing. It wasn't until I began to actually work with the energetic debris itself and work to clear that first that I was able then to apply the Ho'oponopono after I had done the work. And then I felt the deepness of it. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. The New Age movement has a tendency to want to do shortcuts. And these beautiful tools are revealed. And then they try and fast food them. And then people go through the motions. They go through the motions of learning the secret because they want to get a new car, or they want this, or they want that. And they don't really devote the time to the practice and the process underneath it and get the substance and make it a part of their own physical element. This really has to stop. It's a waste of time. Put the effort into it. So just for a moment, bring somebody to mind where you've got some energy around it. Someone you've actually done some work with, perhaps. Someone who you've helped to clear the energy and you've worked to create a different relationship with. I think it's ripe. I think it's a time where you can actually apply the Ho'oponopono and find a place of peace in it. And what this does, when you shift the energy, it changes the nature of the relationship, because any relationship between two people is built upon a succession of it's a ball of energy between the two participants. and their actions and their choices through it, the way they deal with one another, connect with one another, all is fed into this ball of energy that it literally is the definition of the relationship. It's the program of the relationship. And over time, it becomes a thing that you aren't able to separate from. I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable right there. Did you hear that? All right, so when in the relationship, if we just subscribe to the routine of it, it's why people who have gone away and separated come back together and everything's great for a while and then they're right back where they were because the ball of energy is right there. It takes one person to step away from the frequency of the ball of energy, in other words, to unplug, to change the relationship. Because the minute that is done, the other person is unable to respond in kind. And it falls apart. That gives the fertile ground for something new to develop, which may be, goodbye, thanks for the memories. So, bring this person to mind and say, dear, and put their name in. And say the words, I am sorry. I am sorry. Take a breath and say the words, please forgive me. Take a breath, say the words, I love you. And then take a breath and say the words, and I thank you. And then walk away from it. It's a practice of endings. And to end, you have to get up and walk away. That doesn't mean forever. It just means for the energetic moment. The Ho'oponopono is a potent process. There's a whole description of it online here. Please go into it because here we go. There's another example of time running out. Well, lucky you is that everything that I would have talked about is on the page that you'll be seeing tomorrow. It is becoming painfully aware, obvious, that I over-prepare. But because you get everything, you're still the recipient of the information. And perhaps it's my theatrical nature, the way I express myself, that extends the time, like I'm doing right now, and I could be doing another process. Let me do one thing real quick, as we have 2 minutes. Especially this section on my story and other mental roadblocks, and the power of the human voice, the cleaning and maintaining the chakras. Most of you have been with me on chakra work. Some of this will be familiar. Some of it will be new. Under empowerments, you have some empowerments, a couple that we've used, but some that are very potent. I invite you specifically with the first of the empowerments. It seems like it goes on forever, but use it. It is an incredible cleaner and healer of energy, and I invite you to take access into it. It's one from the Ascension Manual, Zakairan is the gentleman's name out of Australia, and this thing is very, very potent. So I invite you to speak it out loud one time. It'll take you about 10 minutes, but speak it with commitment, and I believe you will find a shift of very potent energies. I want to address this idea of my story and other mental roadblocks. We incarnate the blank slate with a blank slate of current experience, filled with the knowing of our history and source, and filled with the complete design we have carried through countless lifetimes. It is an incredible start. The parameters of the dimension impact us immediately. The paradigms, belief systems, patterns, and forces, influences of the family, the culture, society, further steer us into losing the awareness of the I am design that we carry. Sad, and yet it is the part of the journey here. For we are invited to essentially find our way home, as I stated earlier, back to the true and applied knowing of our wholeness. And up until these shifting times, we've been programmed to hold on to the difficult moments of living. What this is leading to, and I'll paraphrase here, we have a story that has become very precious to us. It is our moments of living tied up with all of the glory and the sadness and the struggle and the wounds put into there. And all we want to do is have people listen to it. Because if you'll witness my story, then it will validate that I am here on the planet. And that's beautiful. And it's a trap. And here's why it's a trap. The more I cling to my story, the more I tell it with the emotion of wanting to be heard and the passion that has been unexpressed before and the emotion that is still held into it, the more it becomes a magnet for more of the same. The universe is bound by law to give me that which I attend to. Wherever my focus is, I'm going to get more of it. If I keep telling my story, hey man, I got a story for you. I'll listen to yours, will you listen to mine? And we tell our story and we cry together and then we walk away and we're at the same vibration that we were when we started to tell the story. To become addicted to the story is basically to stay like a leaf in the stream in an eddy, round and round and round I go until further information comes that lifts me out of it in the form of rain and water. We have to stop telling our story. Your story becomes irrelevant energetically. At some point, you pull the plug on it. The story itself can be told over time as examples of changes that have been made. It can be used as a screenplay to tell a beautiful human story, the tragedy of I Am. But it is no longer something that you lean upon to define you, because all you do is limit yourself. I really invite you to dig into all of these areas in this particular session. It is just rich with stuff. And my apologies for not being able to cover it all, but had I covered it all, we would be here until midnight. Let's just bless the fact that it has been created, and there it is. So, clearing an energetic debris, everything we've done tonight has been designed to give an invite and give permission for yourselves to let go of that which they have been holding on to. I invite you to get out in the sun in the morning, spend some time letting the sun fall upon your skin before 10 o'clock. Engage some of these activities, print them out if you have to. And start doing some of this work of releasing those things. They do not serve you anymore. The belief patterns, the beliefs in limited limitations, they no longer serve us. They never did. And now especially they don't serve us. This is the 21st of April. This session is bringing to completion here, and we will come back on the 28th of April. And we'll be looking at the fifth session, which is multidimensional living. Oh, boy. It's going to be exciting. Things will never be the same. We're going to go we're going to go visit the cornfield. I don't know if you remember that great Twilight Zone episode. To the cornfield. I am blessed by your willingness to be a part of this. I am blessed by your willingness to take responsibility and action to reclaim and to reawaken your full self. And I'm happy to be a tiny contributor to that new awareness that is happening here for you and for me and for all of us. And so I will remain on the line, and I will be here for any questions. I'll do my best to answer those. But please, immerse yourself into the information that is there on the page you'll receive tomorrow. It's all complete. And I'll just get the recording, attach it to it, and it'll be out to you. And I also have to say, I hear it, because I said, take away the pressure. You'll have it within 48 hours. That's the window of time. And so it's me who can actually, wow, he got it so quickly and got it done. So I'm excited about that. Thank you so much. So any questions? If you have them, you have to star 6, otherwise you'll be talking to yourself. And they'll start saying, oh, he's like that old crazy Welch down on the beach. I hear breathing.
Mark, this is Connie.
Hey, Connie.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Connie.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I have a curiosity question.
Okay.
Right before you did the Egyptian cord cutting chant,
yeah.
I stood up to go take a few steps to go into the other room because I had it on. Anyway, and all of a sudden, I had a very strong feeling of dizziness that came over me where I had to come back and lie down on the couch. And I just wondered if by doing some of these exercises that we've done, if that may have precipitated that.
Well, when dealing with energy, Connie, there's always the possibility of you know, just immediate reactions as a release goes. We've been storing some of this stuff for so long that it has an impulse and a vibration of itself as it moves and cleanses out. And you've heard, if you've ever done any fasting or if you've done any the kind of energy work where you go through what's called a healing crisis, it's a very temporary process as the toxicity moves back through the system. So immediately I think of, you know, sure, it's a possibility that something was released and it moved straight out, and the reaction was a sense of dizziness, which is a regaining of equilibrium. So it's a temporary process that knocks you out of the old way and moves you into a new frequency. Having said that, sometimes it's just a matter of getting up too fast and the blood pressure kind of thing.
Well, I thought of that, too. I thought that's a possibility. But then I thought, well, maybe it had something to do with all the clearing that we've done. Maybe you knew something about, you know, having a headache. I mean, not a headache, but a dizziness reaction to.
Well, I've gone through dizzy spells. And especially I was just reading today and sharing with a client that the symptoms of ascension by a woman named Meg Colby. I mean, she gave me 7 pages of symptomologies that are represented by this quick-changing energy and how it's impacting us on all levels, especially on the physical, because it's undoing a lot of the damage that's been done. And dizziness was right up there in the front, as well as the erratic sleep patterns and the things that are very common in these times, having erratic sleep patterns, feeling exhausted at certain times in the day, having, you know, headaches, you know, the list goes on and on in terms of things that are actually showing up. And yes, dizziness was one.
Okay.
And sometimes dizziness is a readjustment of frequency and a readjustment to dimensionalities. And I have a feeling that idea, and this is probably why the question is coming up, will have to do with next week's topic.
Oh, the multidimensional type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See, we've been caged in this single fourth dimension kind of thing, third, fourth, three-dimensional, four-dimensional arena. And it's like we've outgrown it. You know, we've completely outgrown it here, and we're pushing to get out of it. And I think as we stick one limb out of the cage and start to taste and touch these new frequencies and these new dimensions, the adjustments will come.
Well, thank you very much. And I did really enjoy the session.
Good.
I'm looking forward to getting the copy tomorrow to listen again.
Okay,
and
Connie.
I hope you have a good evening.
I shall. You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Anyone else? And so it is. All right, we are done here. Recording is ended. Blessings to all, and to all a good night.